Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. Orange Cassidy's chased off the Death Riders. Kanosuke Takeshita has stopped Adam Cole in his tracks, and the House of Black move on to a World Tag Team Championship match. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. We're down a person today, down Jimmy Corderas, but have no fear. It's Jack Farmer being joined by George Hermosa, who says, look, if I don't get to see the AEW championship on TV every week, I'm going to read about another one. George, how are you doing today, buddy?
Yeah, I was wondering. We looked a little light today. I thought maybe alert to my left, look to my right. And I guess it's just us two.
Yeah, we lost some weight.
The way it should be, Jack.
We're taking shots at poor Jimmy Corderas. Jimmy Corderas is going to be back next week, everybody. So don't worry about Jimmy. He will be back next week.
Although, you know who won't be back next week?
Who?
Me. That's going to be me.
You're not going to be here next week?
I'm not going to be here next week.
Where are you going to be next week?
I aside from being an awesome Wrestling Inc. host, I have other gigs that I pay rent with. And I'm shooting a T-Mobile commercial, but it's unfortunately at night.
Oh, I could be in that T-Mobile commercial. Can you hear me now? See?
No, that's Verizon.
Oh.
So maybe not. Maybe you could be in a Verizon commercial, but maybe not T-Mobile.
I'm not going to say T-Mobile's catchphrase because you know what? You got to put me on the commercial, T-Mobile, if you want me to be covering your coverage of cell phones. See? I could have been a spokesperson, but no, you blew it. But yeah, Jimmy will be back next week. So screws, beware. You will be tightened 7 days from now. A lot of folks in the chat already. Good to see y'all. Lots of good stuff to talk about. This is going to be a fun episode, George. I think you and I are going to have a ball today.
We're going to have two balls.
like that truck I drive behind on the way to the studio. We got some news here, and it's about QT Marshall. It's about the Nightmare Factory. It's about Tony Khan, and it's about the WWID program. What the heck is going on, George Hermosa? QT Marshall was asked about this WWID program and it working with the Nightmare Factory, and QT Marshall said, quote, Tony called me the day it was announced about other stuff. And he's like, hey, I just got to bring this up because I'm getting a lot of questions. I said, hey, I'll be honest with you, Tony. I didn't really know about this. Cody had spoken to me about potentially signing over the intellectual properties and stuff. And he said that he was going to be, he was doing something related to WWE, but like a sworn to secrecy kind of thing. Marshall went on to pontificate about what it means for wrestlers who have come through the Nightmare Factory, saying, I just feel like, you know, if you're someone who wants to go to AEW, when you start wrestling, this almost kind of divides it a little bit, and it shouldn't. I'm happy for him. I think he just wants everyone to know that when we were doing the Nightmare Factory, that I was a part of it. Real Deal Zeta Steel received the distinction of being one of the first recruits who were picked for the ID program. George, this was something that I was curious about when I first heard about it, as were a lot of people. The Nightmare Factory, they, you know, they are clearly a part of this WWE ID program, but there's also ties to AEW. Sounds like it's not going to be an issue as far as QT Marshall says.
I mean, in some ways, I don't see what the big deal is, if anything, and this isn't a knock on AEW, but WWE, you think of, this is why they're number one, right? And tell me when I'm telling lies. You think of...
You got to retire the tell me when I'm telling lies.
tell me when I'm wrong. You think of the best case scenario in any single promotion. It's got to be WWE, right? Look at best case scenario in AEW. You're main eventing All In or whatever it is, right? But then you look at best case scenario, you think of WWE because of not just the WrestleManias and the WWE lineage, and but all these other outside opportunities that you may have. With that said, I feel like this is the best case for them, just because, again, not a knock, AEW doesn't really do well with brand new talent. Right. A lot of the people that we've seen on screen with them, it's people that were from the WWE. It's people that were big on the indies or in New Japan or on other countries. Right. So I think when you have some of these guys that, and I know me and you have heard of a couple of people that have been signed by the WWE program. I have actually been in the ring with Ice Williams, but
chilly.
Yeah, he kicked me kind of hard one time. you know, and so you think of that, and you're like, I think it's best for them to kind of go through that NXT WWE program. But yeah, I think it's kind of a big non-use. I think they were, maybe he was a little surprised. But how can you be? I mean, you have Cody Rhodes. Like, how can his school not be one of the ones that have this affiliation with the WWE ID program?
Yeah, I think that everyone knows that WWE had to be looking at the folks at the Nightmare Factory already because of that affiliation. So I don't think anything's really changed in that regard, other than that there is an official connection. I think where Tony was coming from, and what I'm just guessing, I've never spoken with Tony because Tony still doesn't want to give me a call, shoot me a DM. I don't know why, Tony. Send me a DM one of these times. Let's chatter about your show. I talk about it all the time. I think from Tony's standpoint, it was more of a, is there an exclusivity situation? Is this going to cause conflicts of interest? Is there going to be problems here? It doesn't sound like that's the case at all. It sounds like it's going to be business as usual for everybody, but WWE is going to be officially taking a look at some of these students, which is good for everybody. I mean, I think it's good for the wrestlers anyways. It's good when big companies are saying, hey, I want to hire you. And the other big company saying, well, I want to hire you. Well, that's good for the wrestler.
The real question is, Jack, and I'm sure you are very interested in this answer, wherever it may be, is the WWE program only for wrestlers?
You know, so far, that's the way it seems to be, but I'm telling you, I think that these ID guys need to start looking at the Wrestling Inc. pages, George, because I think you and I need to get the nod from the WWE ID program or from Tony Khan or whoever. I think one of these big companies need to look around and say, I think those two dashing fellows on Wrestling Inc. every Wednesday deserve a phone call, George. And I think everyone in the chat would agree. Would you not, George?
You know what's funny is, like, I always think about, like, if I were to get hired, like, what would I do? Because I like doing these things, but I don't see myself hosting a WWE recap show or a panel, whatever it is. I always wanted to do. You guys remember that show, Win Ben Stein's Money?
Yes.
I want to do a show, something like that, on the network or Peacock, whatever it's going to be on Netflix, where it's going to be like, can you stump George Hermosa and take his action figures? And it'll be something like that, where if you can outsmart me, then you can have all this behind me.
I think that would actually be a great game show. I'd be down to, I could see that on the WWE network or whatever it is, whenever that show gets signed. In fact, Stephen Camp, before you even said this, posted in the chat, George would make a good game show host. I agree with that, George. Everyone, in fact, everyone in the chat, let us know. Would you like to play Win George Hermosa's Collectibles?
So,
Fernando says Jack would make a great game show host. So we got some. We got you and I could both host a show. In fact, if you remember Ben Stein's Money, it wasn't you would be the Ben Stein. Yeah, I would be the Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
That'd we could great. Do this.
It's funny that you say George would make a great game show host. How much? I'm going to ramble for a quick 30 seconds just to kind of.
We're down, man. We need to kill time.
Just yeah, exactly. You have to put myself over. In college, I had a presentation because we had to do a business presentation, and we had to be a little creative. So I remember at the end of the presentation, I created a game show. In obviously, like in regard to the business stuff that I did, and I was the host. And I got to tell you, that was one of the most funnest moments I've ever had in my entire life. It was one of those things where I came up with so many things on the spot. Do you ever go through that moment of like, wow, that was so clever that I can't believe I came up with something so clever just on the spot. I know you're a preparation guy and you're so fantastic at it. But do you ever come up with something where it's like, wow, I got to give myself a old Barry Horowitz pat on the back because well, that was actually pretty clever. That little pun that I did. What a great pun that I did.
Oh, I do enjoy the making things up right on the spot. I always think that's very fun. And since we're talking about these different games, you know, I hosted for a while. I used to be on Twitch very regularly. And in fact, if anyone wants to get back on there, let me know. I used to host a show. I was a host called The Meaning List Debates. And I would take a list that I found online of like the best wrestler or the best championships or whatever. And I would keep the list secret and I would make two people debate over whether or not the list was correct, and the viewers would pick the winner. So that was a fun one that I used
to
do.
You should do that. Huh. I got a channel you can bring that back on. I got a little fun thing. I'll promote it at the end, but I'm doing a little fun stuff that I've already recorded a few things that I want to edit out or edit it up and post on my channel. And I'll tell you guys all about it at the end of the show. But yeah, it should, right now, even like all this talking out loud, yeah, we got a lot of good ideas, Jack.
Yeah, we should brainstorm. We should, you know, we got some big things cooking. We got some big things cooking, you and I. Some stuff that isn't cooking is a head-to-head Survivor Series versus Collision showdown. According to PW Insider, Collision will not air on TNT during Survivor Series War Games, which will broadcast live on Peacock due to preemptions. Now, I know a lot of people are thinking that AEW dodged the bullet here because obviously the ratings would probably take a hit. But between you and me, I don't think it would have been a big issue.
It would have made zero difference at all.
Yeah, that's my thoughts. Any takeaways on this, though? Any chatter you want to do about this?
I mean, not really. I mean, it's very clear, even going back to last year's Survivor Series, after the show was over, there was really only one thing that was dominating just social media in general. I guess it's just a matter of not getting lost in the shuffle, even though it's not like people are just going on Twitter every single Saturday night saying, did you guys see what happened on Collision? Oh, my God. Right. Like that doesn't happen even when it's unopposed. But I guess, you know, I guess to completely not be drowned out by whatever happens that night, especially since we saw, you know, some cool things are happening and announced for Survivor Series. You know, I guess it's best to it's that thing. Like if nobody hears a tree fall, did it really make a sound?
Yeah.
They don't want to be that tree that everybody sees fall, but still doesn't make a sound.
You know, I feel like Collision to me is a show that is obviously you want good ratings from a TV show, but it feels more to me like that's the fun thing to go do on a Saturday night if they're in your town, you know, I could imagine you and I say, hey, are you busy Saturday? Collision's in town. You want to go check it out? Yeah, let's go. And maybe there's not storyline developments or things that really matter in the grand scheme of things, but you get to see some cool matches. You have a cool night out with your friends. It's a Saturday, so I don't have to worry about going to work tomorrow. That's kind of what I get out of Collision. That's what it seems to me. Because it seems whenever you watch it, you imagine the live experience is probably really fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, storyline-wise and what's going to pay off down the line, not as heavy. At least it doesn't seem that way.
Yeah. I wonder, now I'm curious, now that I'm thinking out loud, I wonder if they're going to move nights again when Saturday night's main event comes back in mid-December.
Yeah, well, that's just a one-time thing, though, right? Saturday night's main event.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so it's Survivor Series, but I'm saying, like, are they going to go oppose, or is Collision going to move again?
It sounds like this wasn't an AEW call.
It's probably a Turner thing.
Yeah, I don't think they had anything to do with it. But Speaking of AEW, Ring of Honor, Final Battle will return to the... It's still going to be... It's the ECW arena to me, baby, for the rest of time. I don't
you
care.
Think so?
It'll always be Staples Center to me. It'll always be ECW arena to me.
You think it's still ECW arena?
I still call it that. What do you call it? The 2300 building?
No. I think they're going to be in Hammerstein Ballroom, right?
I messed up. Hammerstein Ballroom is what it is, yes.
But yes, it is always going to be the ECW arena, just what NXT was in last week.
Yes, Hammerstein Ballroom. Fightful and Andrew Zarian are the ones that are reporting that. But, George, it's crazy to me how great that venue is, how historic that venue is, the location of the venue being good for wrestling fans, and how rare up until recently it actually got used for pro wrestling. I'm glad that people are going back to it suddenly, but it's baffling that like it got ignored for so long.
What's baffling was the one that kind of brought it back was GCW. They had that big show last year, I think it was, or maybe earlier this year, I think. But that was kind of put it back on the map, because going back to One Night Stand, even that one episode of ECW on Sci-Fi, like a month later, like I think that building is fantastic and phenomenal. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe in the next few months, NXT goes over there at some point, because I think, man, that ECW One Night Stand in 2005 was so special. And that building, even though they were known to run ECW Arena, the Hammerstein Ballroom is kind of what made that show special as well. So I'm just fingers crossed. We all got our fingers crossed. If they can bring that same energy into the final battle, it's going to be a very special night.
Yeah, it's very... Yeah, it's. I don't believe in ghosts unless I'm by myself and it's nighttime. But like, I do feel like that venue is like haunted in a good way by the spirits of pro wrestling. It just feels like it embodies pro wrestling. It's such a cool place and it's such a cool venue. I'm very glad that we're seeing it come back and more of it. And yeah, you got to give GCW. I feel like GCW. It kind of gets its credit, but I don't feel like it gets enough credit as being sort of a thing that makes things cool again. So many things that were forgotten about or cast aside goes through GCW and becomes cool all over again, whether it be Hammerstein Ballroom, whether it be Matt Cardona, whether it be all these different wrestlers who go through there, and people who we kind of, they're done. GCW gets some. And they've just become very cool through GCW. And I'm just glad this venue is getting used again, George. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if NXT does a show there. I would guess maybe like WrestleMania time, around that time, maybe like the Tuesday after WrestleMania. Just because I know they're going to be in that. No, wait, hold on. Where's WrestleMania? Oh, Vegas. I'm sorry. I'm thinking New Jersey. That's going to be SummerSlam, right? SummerSlam's in New Jersey next week.
Yeah.
Maybe not that much down the road, but I do see them going back. I feel like they don't want to do it so soon because they're all going to get the, oh, you only went there because Ring of Honor went there too, you know? Like, they don't want to hear that, but I do feel that. And I heard a rumor that they're going to be in Lowell, Massachusetts, NXT, which is the same place. I think it's the same venue as the Sean losing his smile. So maybe who knows if they'll bring that up at some point during the program. But yeah, it's I can't wait to watch Final Battle just because it's in that venue. So hopefully that turns out to be a good show.
I'd like to be there, you know. So Tony Khan, I know you're watching. Yeah, I know you watch. When you give me the call, say, Jack, we need you there for the pre-show for Final Battle. I always want to do a pre-show, George. I don't know why. I'm obsessed with hosting a pre-show for a place like this. And so I want to do a pre-show.
What'll be interesting is if, like, let's say there's a show at Staples Center and we just take a table. We've been to Staples Center and just put it outside and just sit down and talk. And let's see if people actually come to us. Just put a table there. Like, you know,
what's that? Yeah. You know, we could actually do that. I think we could set something up. Why not?
You know?
Yeah. What are they going to do? Ask us aggressively to leave and then hit us with billy clubs and send us to prison?
I mean, it's not anything we haven't done before.
I mean, yeah, wouldn't be the first time. We got a Tony Khan striking a deal with the classic band Guns N' Roses to license November Rain for Full Gear. George, I feel like you're more of a 90s pop guy than you are an 80s rock guy, but November Rain, possibly the greatest rock ballad of all time, one of the greatest guitar solos slash out in the middle of a field in front of that tiny little church. This is going to be a very emotional video package we're going to eventually get, isn't it?
I want to say I absolutely love, and I mean love, 90s pop. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like you want to talk about wrestling trivia? You want to do 90s pop trivia? I guarantee you that nobody's going to be able to match me. However, I got to say, my absolute favorite band of all time is Guns N' Roses. When they came back together, I said, I will do anything to watch them live. And I did that 8 years ago at Dodger Stadium when they came back with the actual band, right? Not the Axl and the Buckethead and the Joe Schmo. No. I'm talking Axl / Duff. Man, like, so the fact that when... the other guys. Favorite band of all time, by the way. And sometimes Tony Khan tweets some stuff, and I'm like, you know, that's just Tony tweeting. This was probably one of the first times that I said that I responded to one of his tweets when he announced the Guns N' Roses thing in November Rain. I'm like, dude, this is gonna be awesome. I can't wait to see it. I think it goes back to maybe like 99 or the year 2000 when ECW, and I'm sure they didn't really strike a deal, they were kind of going rogue. They would do some of these kind of video packages mm-hmm. over November Rain for their November to Remember pay-per-views. And I loved it back then. And I honestly can't wait to see it now. November Rain is literally one of my favorite songs of all time. The video is probably the best video that's ever been made. Like you said, the whole Slash in the desert playing the guitar in front of the church. Just everything about it. Even now I go back nowadays they kind of have like a remastered version of the song. I can go on and on about this. It is 1000% one of my top favorite songs of all time from my favorite band of all time. And like I said, I said it again, and I'll say it again. I absolutely cannot wait to see what they end up coming up with, because this song, and I feel like that's what WWE's been missing. Remember, like back in 2001, you had the YouTube Beautiful Day, the Creed mm-hmm. My Sacrifice. They used to do all these cool little video packages for like a Mick Foley and Triple H and Kurt Angle and whatnot. Even when people would unfortunately pass away, they would have like My Immortal by Evanescence playing, you know, in video tribute to them. And I feel like that's what maybe AEW has, because we've been seeing a little bit here and there. I do wonder if how long the video is going to be.
Our solo is like 3.5 minutes.
I cannot wait to see how they end up incorporating this. Hopefully it's a lot better than the Doja Cat one from a year ago, even though that wasn't bad. But I really have maybe too high of a hopes and too high standards to see what they end up coming up with. But I cannot wait to what they see.
November Rain, if you were to make a top countdown of the greatest MTV music videos of the MTV music video generation, Thriller, number one. I think you can't argue that. November Rain, off the top of my head, got to be top five. Easy, right? Just a classic. If you've never seen it, go watch it. If you're too young to remember it, you'll probably go, this is a long video. I don't get what they're talking about. But if you lived it, you understand how great it was.
If you got 10 minutes to spare, I suggest watching November Rain by, again, one of the greatest bands of all time. Thriller has to be number one. Thriller changed the game when it came to music videos.
Thriller's number one. They're not even close.
Maybe like I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys. That was the first video retired from TRL.
Yeah, that might be up there actually. But so before
really
we move
isn't.
On, though,
it really isn't.
But George, before we move on, you did say that you are an expert in 90s pop music, and you want to play for your collectibles. So I'm going to ask you this question: U plus me equals us. Calculus. What is the band that released that very famous song?
So I kind of go through this span of like old age, because I'm losing my hair and my vision is shady. Last night I dreamt of an overweight lady, because I need a young thing to keep up with my pace. I can't remember the rest. But you plus me equals us by together. You know what's funny? I used to be a lot thinner. But I used to be really young. So I remember I crashed my high school after I graduated. And so I was like peeking into all the classes. And obviously I was still friends with a lot of people that were there. And one of them goes, all I heard was, oh my God, is that QT from Together? And because I guess I kind of looked like him back in the day. But
hey now.
Yeah.
We got to get the Wrestling Inc. crew together and do a group costume of like Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or something. And it'll be like you, me, Flobo will probably be off to the side, crossing his arms, not wanting to participate because he's a fuddy-duddy. I think it'd be great.
I remember in drama class, you know, now I'm rambling about 90s pop. I remember in drama class, we did like a boy band spoof, like skit, whatever. And so instead of the Backstreet Boys, they went with the opposites. And I won't say what the innuendo is, but instead of back, it was front. It was instead of street, it was avenue. And instead of boys, it was guys. And if you guys figure out that innuendo, then kudos to you, because that's what they were going for.
Well, when we are talking about this and talking about you, we're talking about all of you joining us here live in the chat, like Corey Pride, Danny Cochran, Tommy O, Brianne Milligan, Sonny Sitar, Him Jung-un, and Stephen Camp, and everyone else. Appreciate you guys coming through. Beer Money as well. Blue Chew, you guys, we appreciate you being with us. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. If you're just lurking, we appreciate the lurkers as well. Appreciate you if you're watching it later too. That's all good. We appreciate all your support. Let's talk about this episode of Dynamite.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Adam Page and Christian Cage versus Jay White and Juice Robinson kick things off. There were some issues between Cage and Page early on, and eventually Hook comes out and forcibly removes Nick Wayne from ringside. The Bang Bang Gang have the upper hand, but with Mama Wayne and Kip Sabian at ringside, they're still able to turn the tide and help the Hangman and the Patriarch get the win. This was an interesting team-up, George Hermosa, of Page and Cage. And the bad guys get the win. What are your thoughts?
Page and Cage, Cage and Page. Where is Diamond Dallas Page and Ethan Page when we need them? Throw in Brian Cage in there while we're at it. I thought this was a fun match overall. It was a great way to remind everybody about, you know, a lot of storylines that were happening. This is one of those matches where you have the issue with Hook and the Patriarchy. You have the issue with Adam Page and Jay White. So this is a good way to kind of combine and remind us of these feuds. But overall, I thought it was a fun match. I mean, Juice Robinson is a delight to watch on TV. But yeah, it was just fun overall. I can't say there was anything really wrong with this match. You know, I like kind of Hook coming in there and taking out Nick Wayne. Yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. Again, full disclosure, these are like four of my favorite wrestlers going right now. So it was really hard for me not to enjoy this one. My nitpick would be, I feel like the Hook involvement into the Kip Sabian, Mama Wayne involvement probably should have happened a little bit closer together instead of one happening kind of in the middle and then the other happening later. It made the match feel a little bit drawn out. But that said, I really love this. I love the rivalries between all of them and where all of them are going. The injured leg of Adam Page thing isn't really landing for me. I feel like we don't need to tell that story, and it feels like it's being kind of added in there for no reason. But man, I love these guys. I love the story. They're all great wrestlers, and really looking forward to see where this one goes. Stephen Camp with a question, though. I'll pose it to you, George. Christian, world champ by next summer.
Yes. I think he will be the one. I think he's going to be going into All In as world champion.
Interesting. I got a feeling that's the case too. And I got a feeling that whoever beats John Moxley is going to have a very short reign because of it. So I got a feeling that's how that's all going to.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be Darby that ends up defeating Moxley only to lose it about 5 minutes later.
That absolutely sounds like it could happen. But yeah, this is great. I'm really enjoying every aspect of this one. Can't wait to see it continue on. We get to Will Ospreay, who says that he doesn't like what Fletcher has been up to, and then says that Fletcher hasn't been able to do anything without other people's help. Fletcher challenges Ospreay to a match at Full Gear, and Ospreay accepts because he wants revenge for Fletcher hitting him with a Tiger Driver. The Callis family is on the scene to back up Fletcher, but Mark Davis and Will Hobbs back up Ospreay as it all breaks down for a moment before the next match with Archer and Strong. George, I want your thoughts on this whole thing, but I got to tell you, it gets a five-star, Dave Meltzer five-star review from me simply for the fact that Will Ospreay just threw that screwdriver into the mat like a ninja there. Yeah. How cool was that?
Who was it? Was it Joey Janela that threw a chair in the ring and it landed unfolded, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah.
So add this one to the list where it just kind of made like a little perfect little, right on the mat. I think Kyle Fletcher looks fantastic. I think he looks phenomenal. He needed this kind of makeover to really put him to the next level. I said it before, I'll say it again. He needs to win this match. This isn't a case of I want him to win. This isn't a case of he's going to win. No, he needs to win this match. Because I remember you were like, hey, see, George, Kyle Fletcher wins every now and then when he won that tag team match not too long ago, about a month or two ago. Or don't you feel like you're wrong? Like, no, I feel like he needs to win this specific match after everything that we've seen in the last 6 months with them putting over, Ospreay, putting over Swerve, putting over all these new guys that come in. This needs to be his coming out party. If it doesn't happen here, and I don't want to sit there and say like, if it doesn't happen here, it's never going to happen, because wrestling is so like, it's a long time, right? We all probably thought that when Triple H lost to Ultimate Warrior at Mania 12, that Triple H's career was never going to be, he was never going to be a main eventer because Ultimate Warrior kicked out of the pedigree. Like, clearly, wrestling, people have a short-term memory. But I will say that if everything that's happening, he really needs to win this match. And I'm really hoping that we end up seeing that. And I'm sure it's going to be a phenomenal match. But yeah, I thought the promo was great. He really stood his own. And I like how they're really involving Mark Davis, because we talked about last week how we thought that maybe he was going to get lost in the shuffle, then in about a month or two, and I know it's only a week, but maybe like a month or two, we're going to see maybe Mark Davis, even if it's still around, beating Fuego del Sol on Rampage. So I like that he's kind of involved in this semi-main event story.
Yeah, I agree with you completely that Fletcher needs to win this one. I do agree that, we've argued about the value of wins and losses for Fletcher at different times, but he definitely needs to win this one. But I think he just looked great here. I think that he won this entire segment, which is saying something against Will Ospreay. I think his height really played a big factor here, because Kyle Fletcher is a lot bigger than I think people realize he is. And then when I think Ospreay was looking up at him, it really looked like, wow, this guy's big and he can fly around too. He's not just a big lumbering dude. Like, he can really move and he's big, able to pull off the shaved head too. It's just totally unfair, that good looking kid.
I can't pull it off. Can you pull off a shaved head?
I'm okay with a shaved head. We'll probably find out sooner or later. I did enjoy, I just thought he was great. I thought even on the microphone, I was grading these guys, it's always hard to grade a microphone battle because people are supposed to look better on the mic in certain times. I felt like Fletcher won the microphone battle. Yeah. Obviously, Will Ospreay had the people and he had the energy, but I think the fact that Kyle Fletcher stood right in the middle of the ring, he looked strong, and everything he delivered with purpose, and you knew where he was coming from and what he wanted. Will Ospreay told a lot of the background story and made things personal, which was really good. But I feel like coming out of that, Kyle Fletcher is the one that looked like the stronger force there.
I would have liked for them to bring up at the fact that, because, you know, he mentions it all the time, you know, you stayed at my house, you know, we picked up, I don't know, my kids together, whatnot. And just to throw in a little nugget of so do you think I owe something to you? You know what I mean? People, yeah. I always feel like they need to throw that out there. Oh, you stayed at my house. It's like, okay, well, what? So you always look at me as a little brother. You know, you always look at me as somebody who is indebted to you for your entire life. At some point, I need to grow. For some point, I need to not just be in your shadow, because I do feel for as long as they've both been there, Kyle Fletcher has always been Will Ospreay's friend, not the other way around. He's always been Will Ospreay's buddy. So I would have liked for him to touch upon that a little bit, you know, stepping out of that shadow, because we're seeing that happen. You know, maybe it just goes without saying, but we're seeing literally Kyle Fletcher come out and say, or become somebody that can be on his own. Maybe at some point he won't need Don Callis. We'll see if that ends up happening. But either way, I do think this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I do. I like that. It would have been nice if Kyle Fletcher threw it back in his face. Is that the only reason why you helped me? Just so you could throw it in my face later? Yeah. Good villains always turn things around and sort of gaslight the good guy into thinking that the bad guy has the right motivations. And so I do think that it would have been nice to see him sort of throw it back in his face a bit and be like, look, if the only reason you helped me is to hold me down so you could keep using me to have me there to back you up all the time. Now that I'm finally off on my own, suddenly you have a problem with that.
Mm. It's like you want to hold me down. You always want me to be your little buddy. You always want to be me to be, you know, your tag team partner instead of, you know, think of me as an equal or whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Well, again, we had the Hobbs and Mark Davis were out there. Brian Cage and Lance Archer were out there. Kind of wish we got a little bit more time to show the face-off between them, to really see Hobbs and Davis and Archer and Cage. Because it felt like they got in there and then they left. And it was all so fast. It was a little bit like, oh, okay, well, that happened.
Really, I feel like we need to see, like, just because when you say Hobbs, and I keep thinking Hobbs and Shaw. So I'm like, is there a Shaw in wrestling, or is it just going to be Hobbs and Davis or Hobbs and Mark? And that'll be the team.
Yeah. Why not? Let's get a Shaw in there. But I would have liked to see that. Anyways, we get right into the Lance Archer, Roderick Strong, Falls Count Anywhere match. Roderick Strong, needing to get the win to get his match with MJF, uses a kendo stick to start things off. But this is Archer's world, baby. It's outside of the ring. It's Falls Count Anywhere. So he puts a hurting on Strong. Even as the Kingdom come out to try to help Roderick Strong, Archer is just dominant, throwing them around. Only thing that slows down Archer is getting hit with the steel chair and getting a knee to the face to get the pin. Roderick Strong wins. He's going to face MJF at Full Gear. But post-match, Konosuke Takeshita attacks Strong. That leads into our next match, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. George, what were your thoughts on this one, the Falls Count Anywhere matchup?
Did I miss something? When did they announce that this was going to be a Falls Count Anywhere match?
I did not know either. And I was about to say, when they started the match before they were in the ring, I was like, what? Why are you starting the match now?
Yeah, why is there a pinfall done out there?
I've been around Jimmy Corderas too long. I was like, you got to get in the ring before you start the match. But then I was like,
But if it's a Falls Count Anywhere match, does it have to start in the ring?
I don't know. That's a good question.
He needs to bring out the rule book.
Yeah, try to remember that. Everyone in the chat remember that, because I probably will not. Let's ask Jimmy Corderas. Does the Falls Count Anywhere match still have to start in the ring?
That's interesting. I mean, the match was fun. Still hate the stipulation. I mean, MJF is being treated like a championship, you know? And I guess it's I get it, because people can look back at The Undertaker, right? That was people literally would have a match to figure out who's going to face WrestleMania or who's going to face Undertaker at WrestleMania. But, you know, MJF isn't The Undertaker. Like, why are we putting so much time and effort into, like, oh, you have to win three matches in order to face me at Full Gear? I match was fun. I still dislike a lot of things about this feud. I dislike the camera cutaway to MJF in his living room, and them not even acknowledging it. I would have liked for I know they acknowledge him being there, but just something where like, oh, let's look at the live feed at MJF's house, you know?
Yeah,
just give me anything. Oh my god. Yeah, clearly it was all pre-tape, but you know, just give me something. And we'll get into it a little bit more for the next match.
Yeah, I do think, the cuts to MJF, I get what they're trying to do, but it just looks so edited in. I don't believe that that's live at all. And I feel like even if I wasn't a long-term wrestling fan, I'd be like, that's not live. I can just tell by the way that's filmed, it's not live. So it bothers me a lot. But it did feel like even maybe production, and as mentioned, Goodfella here says, I don't think the camera crew knew either. That table spot in the back had no lighting. You couldn't really tell what was going on in the back. It didn't feel like they were ready for a false count anywhere match. Don't really understand why it was a false count anywhere match either, as opposed to any of the other matches. Was a little bummed out all of Roderick Strong's matches were off Dynamite, except for this one, because then it also felt like, oh, this is the only one that mattered in this whole thing. So, kind of weird. I love Roderick Strong, though. I love Lance Archer. I love that Lance Archer still looked like a dominant, unstoppable dude. So I like that aspect of it. I like that Roderick Strong got the win. So that's kind of cool. But a lot of weirdness to this one going into it. But of course, we go right from this episode, man. They did not give you time to breathe, George. They just went from one thing to the next. They were acting like they did not have an overrun tonight getting through some of this stuff. But the two, Takeshita and Cole, they have a pretty heated contest with Adam Cole looking like he had it in the bag. Takeshita slips on MJF's Dynamite Diamond ring and uses it to stop Adam Cole from getting his revenge. Strong tries to fight off Takeshita, but gets hit with the ring as well. It's the return of Kyle O'Reilly to save the two that sends Takeshita packing. Kyle O'Reilly doesn't shake hands, though, and Ricochet gets the final shot on Takeshita. A lot of stuff went down in this one, George. Take it away.
First off, can they have... when Adam Cole comes out and they kept playing his music after the initial little melee, I'm like, okay, New Jack. You know, are they gonna... I get it. They wanted the boom, and they wanted the Adam Cole baby, and they wanted the music in the background. I just thought it was a little weird presentation, especially, you know, they need to kind of be consistent throughout and out.
I gotta say, before you move on to the next thing, though, I loved it. I get there's people who are probably talking about the logic of it and like all this stuff, him knocking Takeshita out of the ring and then in the middle of after fighting still going boom, I was like, yeah, I loved it personally. Did you like it, or was it bad for you?
Indifferent, but I dug it. I just want to know if they're going to keep doing it, if that makes sense. The match was fine. I thought it was good. I didn't see Takeshita losing, to be honest with you, just because he's a champion, and I thought it would have opened up another Pandora's box if Adam Cole defeats Takeshita, but now he's not getting a title shot, and he'd rather face MJF over getting a title shot. Then where does that put Ricochet into getting a title shot? So I think Takeshita winning was the right call. Yeah. However, like, what are we doing here? Like, so are we going to not insert Adam Cole into the MJF match? Is that going to happen sometime down the road? Because this feud needs to end ASAP. I'm guessing that they'll still find a way to put him in the match, especially since we're, 10, 11 days away from full gear. I do think he's going to be part of the match, but I'm hoping that they find a creative way to put him in. Again, I don't know. I don't know what to say when it comes to wanting to face MJF so bad that it puts everything else on pause.
I love this. I loved everything. I thought the match was cool. I thought that what I loved about this is Takeshita using the ring further solidifies his partnership with MJF.
Yeah.
And I think Kyle O'Reilly coming out and then of whether or not they're going to be a group again, but where does that leave the kingdom in all this, making sure Ricochet still gets some time to keep that going. But also I like that Adam Cole is not going to be in the match at full gear because now he's got to wait. And now what happens with him and Roderick and, Now that gives MJF the chance to have a match with Roderick Strong, which would be good, but MJF could get the win, maybe bloody up Roderick Strong, make it even more personal between him and Adam Cole, because if they're going to continue this, it can't continue to be like we used to be friends and now we're not friends. You know, you got to add another layer to that. And I think you can do that at Full Gear. I think a lot of things happen here that are good business in if that makes sense. I do think Ricochet at the end felt like a little bit like, okay, we didn't really necessarily need that potato, but the potato in the 20 pounds potatoes in a 10 pound bag is the reference I'm making here. I'm not calling Ricochet a potato.
Stiff worker. it's one of those. And I know we talked about it right after the Dynamite or on the Dynamite after show, after the last pay-per-view, where it was a little bit of a wait and see approach. But so far from what I've seen, it's a lot of swing and the miss. When it comes to this feud, maybe they're going to wait till World's End. Cause that would be like kind of the 1 year anniversary of Adam Cole revealing himself as the Devil. So maybe that's what they're waiting for. Who knows? But unless they make it more sense and meaningful and really explain why Adam Cole is on such a mission to not go after championships that we all know that he can win. Yeah. I add that to all the MJF cuts in his house of watching the match and reacting. Yeah. It's still a big,
well, it's not like he has a world title match like he can cash in like Christian. I mean, he'd have to earn that shot.
There's like 18 other championships. He can go after one of those.
But the only way to get to the Continental Championship is he's got to go to the Continental Classic. Takeshita's already tied up right now. Jack Perry has something going on with Daniel Garcia. So what's he going to do?
I'm sure there's another championship. Why doesn't he go after the Nueve?
It's a Ring of Honor championship. He doesn't want that.
Jericho does.
Yeah, you can't beat Jericho. Jericho's the man. Killer Demon says, Cole will fight MJF due to Roddy getting injured. Bet you. That's not a bad prediction, but I wouldn't be happy with that, but I'm not saying it's not a bad prediction. We get over to John Moxley, who comes out and says all the pressure has been applied to Orange Cassidy, and Orange Cassidy is cool as a cucumber. So Moxley will make an example out of Orange Cassidy. Well, Orange Cassidy says that he believes John Moxley because he's the champion. Darby Allin dives from the crowd, scattering the Death Riders, and Marina Shafir escapes with Moxley and the championship as the fight continues. Darby even chases the Death Riders to their truck, and they almost leave without Yuta before Claudio Castagnoli destroys Darby Allin. This is the A story, the main event story, the world championship story. You did the old, while I was telling everyone about what happened, and you're shaking your head now. That tells me you loved it.
So apparently, John Moxley taking over the Superstation is just a promo.
You're not getting mad at them promoting this, are you?
No, I'm getting mad at, I thought we were going to see something new and different because they kept emphasizing that. And John Moxley is going to take over the Superstation. He's going to take over TBS. And
this is what you wanted. You wanted them to act like he's not, that you wanted him to act like he's not allowed to have this time. So I had to say he's taking it over. That's what you wanted.
It's just a promo. It was just a promo. That's it. He does promos all the time. How is this different?
Because now they're listening to you, George, and they're not saying he's getting time. They're saying he took over.
But you can't announce that. Like, oh, guess what? This upcoming Wednesday, John Mox is going to take over the Superstation. Like, no, that's got to be more spontaneous.
Maybe he said he's doing it and there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay, that actually makes sense. See, here's my thing. And I've been saying, WWE has kind of gotten away from this for a little bit, you know, for like a good 2 years. But one of my biggest problems with WWE, especially in that 2019 that everybody dislikes, is even when they in 2020 as well, and even when they tried to be spontaneous and really off the cuff, it still felt overproduced. It still felt like everything was still supposed to happen, even when they were trying not to be. And I feel like that's kind of what's happening now, is that they're trying to look spontaneous, but it still looks like it's that it doesn't look like it's live, right? One of the main things that we always hear Eric Bischoff say is like, hey man, once we go live, anything can happen. This doesn't give me that Kevin Nash lawn darting Rey Mysterio on the side of the truck vibes, because yeah. that really felt like, oh my God, like we're not supposed to happen. You had cameras rush out and really like be shaky. That really felt like, I don't think this is supposed to happen, guys. I just don't feel it. And I feel like the Death Riders, that's what it should feel like anytime they're on TV. That it should feel like, okay, this isn't necessarily supposed to happen. Moxley's taken over, so you know, how should we do? Should we shoot it differently? Should we, you know, something just make it unique. Don't make it part of the show. Just make it unique. Make it look like as if it wasn't supposed to happen. And if they, can't do anything about it, then maybe have one of his guys hold the camera. You know, maybe have like Claudio hold the camera. Just kind of make it give a little more uniqueness. Yeah, I don't know. I just was expecting more than a promo when they said he was going to do something on the Superstation.
I think something that would help that is just very simple is I feel like they need to attack different people. Because they keep running into the same people every time. Mm-hmm. It just makes it feel redundant and like two people having or a group of people having a rivalry instead of these guys running roughshod as they have in, you know, in the past. So, you know, they did for a little bit where like, oh, they beat up the Dark Order. Oh, they beat up these groups of people. I've said, I think they should start beating up even bad guys. Like I would love to see them run through and just attack the Learning Tree one of these days and, or, you know, take out
the premier athlete.
Like no one is really make it feel like no one is safe and they're mm-hmm. beating up everybody. Maybe find one of the broadcasters who was able to take a little bit of a bump and have him attack. Like, I don't know who can do it, but like Alex Marvez or something during an interview to really make it feel like, wow, these like nobody is safe here in this building.
I like Orange Cassidy's promo. I thought it was great. I think he is very underrated on the mic when he gets serious. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. And I'm looking forward to this match between the two.
I loved what Orange Cassidy said for multiple reasons. One, the biggest one is him saying that the championship represents what everyone wants to fight for, why they're all wrestlers and what makes them want to be who they are and gives them the power to be who they are and what gives them the power to be different, the kind of wrestlers they want to be. And I feel like that is exactly what you should be saying and feeling and thinking when you're trying to fight for that world championship. And even though this guy's terrible, even though he's hurting people, at the end of the day, that championship is so important. And it rang true because I saw an interview with Jon Moxley where he said something along the lines of, this is an exact quote, but he was talking, people always say that there's certain ways you're supposed to wrestle and certain, you know, we always talk about it all the time. This is how you're supposed to do it. It should look like this or whatever. And he was talking about how wrestling is an art form, like music or like anything else. And you should play the music you love and you should make the art you love. And if wrestling's art, you should do it the way you want to do it. And that's why he does it the way he does it, even though some people like it or don't like it. And I think Orange Cassidy very much is someone who does it a certain way because that's the way he loves to do it. And maybe I was just in the moment, but it felt very passionate to me and very artistic to me. Like, no, this, it's not about, you know, I know people online like to say it's about numbers and ratings and, you know, going into the commercial break, making people want to come back or whatever. But this made it very much feel like, no, we're artists and this is our personal dream to do things the way we want to do it. And it just touched me a little bit, George. Maybe I'm just at a point in my life where that kind of stuff touches me. I don't know.
No, just overall. And I do want to make this point about AEW as well, is that they want to be different. They want to be the alternative, whatnot. But I do feel like I want to give them kudos because we are all accustomed to watching pro wrestling in a certain way. And who's to say that AEW can't not change it, but come up with another way of consuming wrestling, whether it's with the promos, whether it's with the good matches. Because at some point, I'm sure when and I know it's a different time, when I'm sure when Vince kind of said, like, you know, I want to stay away from wrestling and do more entertainment-based programming, I'm sure everybody thought that he was crazy. Mm-hmm. And it kind of became to now we're accustomed to the promos and whatnot. Why can't Tony Khan and AEW put an effort into, again, coming up with another way of how we watch wrestling? And I really like that he's sticking with it. He's not necessarily changing up like, WWE has majority of promos and packages, so we're going to do that too because that's what gets the business. No, like it's going to take time. It's not just an overnight thing. And I like that with Moxley and, you know, they're all kind of giving that message of, you know, you're going to like what you like and we're going to do it how we do. And, you know, you're going to conform to us. We're not going to conform to you.
I will say my nitpick from this, my little gripe from this was, I hate to talk about commentary because it's my dream to be a commentator someday, but we come back from this big melee, this very impassioned speech and everything, and Excalibur's laughing when he, you know, Darby Allin just jumped off on those guys. I think it's not funny, man. This is supposed to, he just took over the superstation. This is supposed to be a very like serious moment. You shouldn't be laughing at that. That should be a very, you know, like, wow, things are dangerous around here. That's just my take on it, though. I don't know. It ruffled my feathers, George Hermosa. It did make me laugh that they almost forgot Wheeler Yuta, though.
I mean, I'm curious. Like, I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of those seeds get planted as well. What I would love to see is Wheeler Yuta take over the Death Riders, even with Moxley and Claudio involved, saying, you know what, you think this low of me? Well, guess what? Now I'm going to show you the real me, and him being kind of the it was me, Moxley. So, you know, just something where he shows everybody that he's just as much of a badass that as everyone else. Because I feel like the easy thing is to go like, oh, well, they're going to eventually turn Wheeler Yuta babyface. Like, no, like you're going to punk me, then watch what I do when I start to punk you guys and you guys start following my lead. I think that would be a whole another level of what we end up seeing with Yuta. And I feel like that can help him get him up to the next level, as opposed to the traditional, like, oh, he's going to be babyface again because everybody else is kind of little brothering him, you know?
I do like how they're using him as sort of the whipping boy, and how they're kind of like, I don't know if you caught it, but while he was yelling at Orange Cassidy, Claudio was like, shut up. And he stopped talking. Yeah. And how everyone treats him like garbage, and how Moxley even says, like, you failed him, and that's why he listens to everything I say. Like, I'm going to tell you, he's brainwashed for me. And so it's a very cool approach they're doing with Wheeler Yuta. I'm enjoying it.
And I like that they're not making it obvious.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it turns out with this. I'm really digging the Death Riders right now and this story that they're telling overall. But Britt Baker had a match with Penelope Ford, two people who have been gone for a little bit and are back. I know they've had a couple of matches, but still sort of getting their feet wet again. Penelope Ford makes a fight out of it, but after a reversal of the Muda Lock, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, gets the win, but the professor, Serena Deeb, makes her presence known after the match. George, I'm going to give you a big gripe of mine. Big gripe of mine. I've praised AEW pretty much throughout this whole review, but I'm going to have to give them a crabby comment, and it's one I've mentioned a little bit over and over again, but it's gotten on my nerves. AEW says this is where the best wrestle. They talk about where this is where the best wrestling is. Wrestling is important to them. What happens between the ropes, what happens between bell to bell, this is where they stand apart. But every single match, they went to picture in picture. You can't tell me the most important part of your show, the thing that you do the best, is also the thing that you take commercial breaks during, George. It's driving me nuts.
You're on your own.
What?
Because you're still seeing them wrestle. You just got to go like this.
You are not seeing them wrestle. You are seeing a go to the general and save some time jingle get played.
That's funny. I get what you're saying. I think it's a legit gripe, especially when you're promoting the wrestling so much. My gripe about this match is, like, they just brought back Penelope Ford, and, you know, she's gone for a good 2 years or so, and now they have her lose pretty much week after week. She's kind of becoming the Kyle Fletcher of the women's division now. Well, you know, she can't win that big match because from what I've seen, and I said this last week, I was more impressed by Penelope Ford than Jamie Hayter last week. And this week she impressed me again. I think it was more back and forth. I thought it was a good back and forth match. I just wish, and I know injuries, because I was going to bring up Willow before I saw there was like an injury report that she had a concussion back in CMLL. And I was like, why haven't we seen Willow? She's like such a delight to watch. So I know injuries is a thing. I just feel like they need to do a much better job at reminding us, everyone, because I'm really curious how much the percentage of every single person watching Dynamite tonight was like, oh yeah, Serena Deeb, I forgot about her. You know, like we shouldn't be thinking that, like really ever. Like we shouldn't be thinking that. Just give us something. Give us, and don't give me this like, well, you have to watch Ring of Honor, Fight Club, or whatever to see her match. Like, no, like that shouldn't be the case. Yeah, I just wish there was a little bit more emphasis, and I really hope that now that Britt Baker's back again, that she doesn't go away for a few weeks. I really think, and I do want to say this, Jack, and I know that, you know, we're both adults. We don't really tend to kind of, we see a rumor and we don't really necessarily believe it without merit, right?
Yeah.
But I do think there is something, what it is, I have no idea. There is something on why we haven't seen Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter on TV together.
Interesting. I mean, we will talk about Jamie Hayter's promo here in just a moment, but that's interesting. It does make me wonder what could be going on there. Mm-hmm. But Britt Baker feels like they're building her up for something. Feels like that's why they're lining up people who are legitimate. Penelope Ford is legitimate. Serena Deeb is legitimate. That said, there are also people that haven't been on TV regularly over the past year. So they're people that Britt Baker can beat and not really stop momentum at the same time. They're both people I want to see on TV more often. I'm actually a big Penelope Ford fan. I'd love to see her on TV more. I'm glad she's on TV. I hope she's able to make the most of it and get on TV more.
She's a lot more talented than people think that she is.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And Britt Baker is one of the original pillars of that company, so it's great to see her back. Serena Deeb is super talented. So I know this is kind of a reoccurring story. They have the pieces for a great women's division. They just need to start giving us a little bit of that consistency, a little bit of seeing things more often. You see the success of NXT and them really leaning into the women's division. I think the AEW has all the resources to do that. They just need to use the time.
They need to have one of those moments that we saw last week with NXT, or like 2 weeks ago, where we saw that big 5-on-5 stare down on NXT, and we were like, dude, like, NXT women's division is the absolute best division in all of pro wrestling. I feel like AEW needs that kind of thing. Like, they need a kind of presence. It does, they don't all have to be in a 10 versus 10 or 5-on-5 match, but just something to remind us, like, wow, like, we have some very talented women, because we don't really see that too often. We don't really see, like, female stables really that often, and especially in AEW. We're seeing it a lot more in WWE, but we don't really see it in AEW now that I come think about it. We see, like, partnerships. You know, even when we would see the Outcasts, right, with Ruby Soho and Saraya and Toni Storm, they were just kind of singling people out. But we didn't really see, like, you know, just the magic of how they can all work so good as a group together. But I do feel like at some point in the next week or two, or maybe a month or so, we need to have that moment in AEW where we can get reminded on just how great this division is. Have 5, 6, 7, 8 women on at the same time. Just show us that visual of just how talented these females are.
Yeah, don't dare AEW to put on a 10-person tag team, because they will.
Yeah.
they will. We got a Hurt Syndicate promo. Bobby Lashley says that Swerve is a danger to everyone else, and that's why he's going to stop him. Swerve Strickland has a match after that against Leo Rush. It's a very fun and unique matchup, with Swerve getting the win. After the match, Swerve calls out Bobby Lashley, but MVP says, Lashley's ready to fight, but you got a lesson to learn, Swerve. The lesson is there's strength in numbers. So Shelton Benjamin attacks Swerve from behind. Bobby Lashley just manhandles Swerve after that, and even poor Prince Nana gets beaten down afterwards. I am really a fan of the approach that the Hurt Syndicate is using here by saying that it's because Swerve is dangerous, because the way he's been presented, he absolutely is dangerous to everybody in AEW. And it's a perfect example of the bad guys justifying themselves and what they're doing.
Yeah. I like that no one came out to save Swerve, because he's been, as everybody's been saying, it's such a danger in the locker room that, you know, really, like, he shouldn't really have friends. Like, he alienated himself from everybody. You had what was his group called?
The
Mogul Embassy. Like, he pretty much, you know, abandoned them, or maybe they abandoned him. So I kind of like that. So maybe it goes to show, maybe he's going to have to reach out to somebody to kind of, because if it's just going to be him versus the Hurt Syndicate, he's got no chance, whether it's now or at the pay-per-view. So maybe we'll see something like that sometime soon. Maybe he'll bring somebody in. Maybe he'll align himself with Ricochet. Who knows? But I do like this feud a lot. I think we're going to see a great match between the two at Full Gear. I like that Shelton Benjamin is being used as a freaking beast And I hate that it's been, you know, it's this long, because, you know, he should have been used this way, I guess, maybe like 20 years ago when he was doing his thing in WWE. I think kudos to everybody involved. I think this added, a lot, a lot of heat to their match. However, Swerve lost them. He lost them because they weren't in Stamford, Connecticut.
Oh, he messed up.
And he totally lost the crowd to the point where I think, as a viewer at home, dude, I don't care. I just watching what I see on TV. Yeah. But the audience, I'm sure the segment could have been a lot more meaningful if they weren't chanting the right city, as opposed to really focusing on what was happening in the ring.
Yeah, the crowd kind of took over at that point. But to be fair, that's what happens when you say the wrong city name.
Yeah, especially as a babyface. Yeah. You don't want to do that as a babyface.
I didn't actually get it at first. I didn't get what they were saying, even on Twitter. I was like, what are they chanting? Because I didn't get it. I didn't get that they got the name wrong.
Because I think they were in Bridgeport, right?
Yeah, they're in Bridgeport.
They started chanting, we're in Bridgeport. And even to the point where they were beating them down, they were just chanting Bridgeport, Bridgeport. And I'm like, oh, man. Like,
yeah,
that's not what they want.
That was bad. That's a bummer that happened. Yeah. But that sucks. But yeah, I think that the way this is going, you know who could help Swerve? Maybe Swerve finds a guy who says, I don't like you, Swerve, but I'm the only one that gets to destroy your life. Maybe
don't say it. Don't say it.
Maybe Hangman Adam Page says, listen, I'm the only one that gets to put Swerve Strickland in the dirt, the Hangman. So Hurt Syndicate, keep on riding out of town. You know, this Hangman, the Swerve Strickland, I hang when I drive.
If he wasn't so busy with Jay White, I'd say you're onto something. But yeah, I think he's too busy dealing with his own issues. Or else I'd probably be on board. But I feel like that would put us really, really a stick in the momentum of Hangman as a heel, because I do think he is going to be one of the top heels moving forward.
I do want to say, too, I love, as a wrestling fan, Swerve versus Lio Rush. Both those guys' wrestling styles is so unique and so interesting. And so to see them have a match was really cool to see. I'd love to see them down the line have a pay-per-view matchup where they could get a lot of time and really open it up a bit. Those two guys were really fun to watch. We have a couple of interview segments I want to run through real quick, George, and I'm going to get your thoughts on them. The Learning Tree. Says that Jericho will agree to Ishii's challenge for the Ring of Honor Championship. Mercedes Moné tells Camille that she's just not doing a good job before Statlander bulldozes Camille and puts Mercedes through a wall. Mina Shirakawa and Harley Cameron, they have a match coming up on Saturday. And Jamie Hayter says that she's going to start righting wrongs before Julia Hart wakes up from a very bad dream. A lot of stuff went down, George. Any thoughts on these segments?
I can't help just to kind of be a little cynical sometimes, unfortunately. One of my biggest things is, so they had Ishii say, or not him, but they said, Renee said, like, oh, Ishii is going to challenge you to a match on Dynamite in 2 weeks. Why are you challenging somebody for a match in 2 weeks? Like, why don't you say, I challenge you the soonest possible, whether it's Collision or whether it's next week's Dynamite? Like, why do people want to challenge somebody for 2 weeks from now? I don't understand that.
Well, it's just, how is that different than challenging someone to Full Gear?
Because that's a bigger stage.
Maybe Ishii's busy. Maybe he's got somewhere to be.
Then tell me he's busy. Tell me he's in Japan right now, and that's why he can't wrestle on next week's Dynamite or Collision or Rampage or whatever. That's all I want.
In the chat, do you think they need to explain that?
But I feel like we're seeing that a lot, right? We're seeing that even to the point where we sometimes see, well, I challenge you to a match on Rampage. Like, really? You're going to challenge him on Rampage? Like, why? I don't know. That always bugs me when
there is the characters on TV. I get it. But for us viewers at home, it's very like, yeah, why would you want to be on Rampage? Be on challenge?
Yeah, why wouldn't you want to beat him when there's the bigger audience? And also, I thought the Jamie Hayter was fine. I'll get to the Julia Hart promo last. What was the second promo that you mentioned? Oh, the Camille. I thought that was just silly. Everything about it was just silly. Camille being talked down to. There's really no, like, no history behind it. Just because she missed when she was trying to hit Statlander. I don't know. I'm not digging this. I'm not digging this at all. Just because of Camille's one, maybe two missteps. Now you're going to talk down to her like that. Now she's taking it. You know what I mean? Like she's just receiving all the verbal abuse that she's getting from Mercedes.
I was very upset about, first off, I was upset that Camille got manhandled yet again. That really bothers me that she's just getting manhandled so easily. But I got to be honest with you, all of the horrible things, all my bad feelings completely washed away when they went through a wall. I will pop anytime someone gets put through a wall in pro wrestling. When Statlander and Monet went through the wall, I was like, yeah, baby, this is what I want to see in pro wrestling.
Yeah, like I don't mind the physicality aspect of it. I'm just more like the mental, the verbal aspect of it. Like, dude, you guys haven't even been together that long. Like, that this should be like down the road. I don't know. I when I saw Camille getting talked down to by somebody who's half her size, I did lose it a little bit. Not lose like angry, but like, whatever. Like, past next. But yeah, I did dig the wall thing. And then there is a major gripe that I saw that really took me out, because I absolutely love Harley Cameron. I think she is a delight. I think she is not a national treasure. She's an international treasure. Just in every single way, she's somebody who, whenever she's on TV, it literally makes her television show better. And her and Mina, I, you know, there was some jiggling involved, but the thing that really took me, the thing that took me out was, as Harley Cameron's challenging Mina Shirakara to a match on Collision, they already air the graphic of like, oh, this Saturday, you know, Mina versus Harley Cameron. Like, dude, you're, oh man, like you couldn't have waited like 10, 15 seconds. You can't just wait until after she's challenging Mina to air that little graphic on the lower thirds. Like, come on. Like, that's something where I think on the bigger scale, who cares, right? Nobody's going to be talking about that in a year. You know, we all still talk about Michael Cole messing up the main event of WrestleMania 15. Like, that's a big mess up. A little mess up like this, everybody's going to forget about it in about a week or two. But I just wish in the moment I was like, man, like you couldn't have waited just literally 10 seconds to put that graphic up. She's literally challenging her right now, and you already have the graphic up.
You gotta make it look like people had to react to the to the challenge. So I get exactly what you're saying, because I don't want to say let it breathe, but it's got to feel natural. You can't act surprised before the person does what they're doing. But
that's what I mean. Like, even when they try to seem spontaneous, it still looks like it's overproduced. With that said, absolutely loved that Julia Hart promo. They had her do another promo previously on Collision. They had a follow-up here. It was absolutely, like, I am hoping that we see more of these, because I think that this is going to add, not that she wasn't over already, but Julia Hart, like, these promos, these segments, she is going to be something when she comes back.
Yeah, I think just kind of going to the top with Camille, I want to mention her real quick. I feel like we need to know why Camille is answering to Mercedes. We need a story beat about, like, you know, with MJF and Wardlow, they told the story of Wardlow wasn't signed to AEW. He was signed to MJF, and that's why he did whatever MJF wanted, even when MJF was a jerk to him. It doesn't need to be the exact same thing, but we need some reason why Camille just keeps letting Mercedes walk all over her the way she does. Harley Cameron, I back you 100%. She gets it. She knows exactly what she's doing. She is so entertaining. She's good at being just an obnoxious person. That I will say, though, she's so obnoxious, at least for me, I cheer for her. I know we're supposed to be booing her against Mina Shirakawa, but I'm like, yeah, Harley, let's go, you're crazy, this is fun. So I'm all on board with her. Felt a little bit like Jamie Hayter got cut off in a bad way by Julia Hart. Kind of would have rather, unless they're building something of Jamie Hayter versus Julia Hart, I would have rather that been the thing that maybe cut off Harley Cameron and Mina Shirakawa. Mm-hmm. But the Julia Hart videos, fantastic. Yeah. I think something that AEW needs to get a little bit more credit on is when they do these sort of cinematic things, and I hate cinematic has become so overused in pro wrestling that I kind of hate using it, but these cinematic kind of stories.
Delete.
These are very cool. And when AEW does them, they're very good. I was a little actually bummed out. They should have re-aired the one from Collision, I think, to show us that so that we could have seen it again. Cause I think again, the reality is the audience is double the size on Dynamite. So yeah. I think you kind of need to hold hands on Dynamite a little bit more. Especially because it looked cool. Like it was a cool video. Show it again. Don't worry about showing it twice. I think even if you'd seen it before, you'd go, oh, this is that cool video. You know, WWE did that one with Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And that one was like 15 minutes long. And we were still like, oh, cool. They're showing it again. Yeah. This is fantastic. I would like them to show it again. Very curious about where that's going. It looks awesome. That leads us to our main event. Tag team match to qualify for the Fatal 4-Way for the Tag Team Championship at Full Gear. House of Black versus FDR. Heated matchup that ends with a series of brutal clotheslines and Dax Hardwood getting choked out by Brody King. Sportsmanship after the match. George, looks like Malakai Black isn't going anywhere.
In that case, and I do want to mention that because I did think about when he came, because he was on Collision, now he was on Dynamite, on why that match, or that, I think I said, segment ended the way it did with a lot of sportsmanship. It did look like it was a Swanton song for Malakai Black. So I was thinking about that kind of, you know, leading up to the match and during the match, because we saw a great match and, you know, FTR and pretty much never misses. With that said, we saw some sportsmanship after the match as well. So it kind of leads into like, are they going somewhere with this? I thought we were going to maybe see Brody King, you know, acknowledge that in some ways, kind of be like, hey, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you shaking this guy's hand? But then he did it at the end of that match. So I do feel like maybe it's going somewhere. So I will sit back and wait and see what happens with that. But yeah, I thought the match was great. I'm digging what they're doing and how you're leading up to Full Gear. The Outrunners qualified on Saturday, so I'm extremely excited to see them get that spotlight on a pay-per-view. They've been such a bright spot on all AEW programming. I think there's a team, and this goes to show how open-minded I am, because I hated them. I did not like them in every single way when they first came out, and now I do like them, and the best part about it is they didn't change one single bit. They were like, you know, we know we have our detractors. We know we have a great act. And they kept going at it to the point where like, man, like I am foolish for even thinking that that I thought that they were, you know, bad, or I thought they were useless, because man, was I wrong. And I'm so happy to be wrong. So I'm really excited to see them. And I think we're going to see the Acclaimed against some team on Collision that I can't remember who.
We are going to see the Acclaimed. Who are they against though? I can't recall.
Some other tag team. But I do like what they're going to. A lot of dissension being teased as far as maybe Max Caster is going to join the Hurt Syndicate. Maybe they're going to completely switch it up on us and have Anthony Bowens join the Hurt Syndicate. So I do like where that's going. But either way, I do think this was a great match. The finish was fantastic. It really came out of nowhere, and you can tell that did come out of nowhere by the reaction of the crowd. There's kind of a little bit of a haunting visual of somebody getting choked out. And then once they pass that standing, and then they just kind of collapse. You know, I remember we saw that in John Jones against Lyoto Machida back in UFC 2011, I want to say, or in 2011. And we saw that not too long ago, right, with Darby Allin and Brody King.
Yeah. He dropped him off the side of the ring apron though, too, which was extra cool.
Yeah. So I think that's always a cool but very haunting visual, and it kind of fits for the House of Black. But where was Buddy Murphy? Buddy Matthews?
I don't know. I don't know.
Taking pictures at a supermarket, apparently.
I saw that video. I saw a picture, I should say. And I was thinking as they were walking out the House of Black, I should say, I think Tony Schiavone was like, and there's Brody King, the powerhouse of the House of Black. And I was thinking, imagine being as yoked as Buddy Matthews is and not being the powerhouse of your group. I'd be like, look how big I am. I'm the powerhouse. But Brody King is a very large individual, especially if you ever stood next to him. He takes up a lot of space when he's around. I love this one. I was pleasantly surprised House of Black got the win here. And it seems like something is brewing for them. You're right, whether it be the sportsmanship, Julia Hart coming back, where is Buddy Matthews? A lot of stuff going on there. And so I'm very interested to see how that's going to play out. I agree, though, with the ending there. The chokeout is a phenomenal finishing move. I hope he starts winning with that. Brody King is someone I've said for a while. You could build a division around him. I'd love to see him become a big focal point. I know people say that about Malakai Black, and I agree about that as well. But I feel like that's less of a cool hot take on a podcast to say Malakai Black, where Brody King, I think, is someone who will prove a lot of to a lot of people that he can be that fearsome nightmare creature that scares people in a wrestling company. So
yeah.
That was the show. A lot of good stuff. I enjoyed anyways. How did everyone in the chat, how did you guys feel? Did you guys like the show? George, what are your final thoughts and where can the world find you online?
I thought it wasn't bad. I think just going back what I was saying earlier, I do want to praise Harley Cameron a little bit more just because she has something that a lot of people don't have. And I feel like it's going to really take her to the next level. And that's comedic timing. I think that's something, I mean, you can't teach it, but I think something that she doesn't need to be taught. And I really feel like I'm excited for that match that we're going to see on Collision. We're probably going to see a lot of jiggling, I guess you could say. But overall, I thought I was in a bad show. You know, I could have done a little bit more spontaneous things, like I mentioned earlier, with the whole like Mox taking over the Superstation and, you know, why are they putting so much emphasis? Almost as if like they sounded excited at Mox taking over the Superstation. I feel like that shouldn't be the case, but especially when he's openly admitted that he wants to take over AEW or wants to destroy or go to war with AEW. But I'm excited to see what happens next week. I'm excited for the pay-per-view. Like I mentioned, I won't be here next week, but I should be here on the week after. I'm sure Wrestling Inc. is going to have a Full Gear review show that I'm sure one of us will be a part of.
I'm sure I'll get the email, the Slack.
Yeah. So I'm upset that I won't be part of the predictions next week, but I'm sure you guys will all have great predictions. But yeah, you can follow me at George Hermoza or G Hermoza, GHERMOZA on Twitter, Instagram. You can follow my channel, the YouTube chatter. I'm doing this fun thing. I haven't posted it yet, but I did record a couple things. There's a cool little website on the internet where it's kind of like a quiz, not just wrestling, but it's got pretty much whatever thing you can think of, whether it's wrestling, whether it's and it's got timed quizzes where it's like name, you know, all the NBA MVPs, name all the former Intercontinental champions, and it gives you like 10 minutes. So I'm incorporating a lot more of that, really trying to test myself as the genius that I am. Io Sky is the genius of the sky. I'm the genius of the wrestling useless knowledge. So that should be fun. You know, if anybody wants to maybe challenge me or think that I can complete certain things, you know, we'll give it a follow, give it a shout, tune in and see if I can guess all the European champions very, very soon. Cause that was one of the, the videos I did with Flobo. He challenged me and said, "Hey, can you name all the European champions?" I said, that's not the question. The question is, how fast am I going to do it in? So I can't wait to share with all you guys. That's going to be a fun little thing that we see on the wrestling chatter.
I'm going to have to see if you were able to deliver on that. Now, let me ask you this. Did you have to pick like the order? Like, so like D'Lo Brown, did you have to pick his name more than once? Or was it just like, if they have ever won it, that's
so one way? When you put that one, it fills in like, it does it multiple times. And then okay. There's a little cheat as well. Let's say I'm doing Intercontinental Championship. I can just put Hart and it fills in for Brett and Owen, but I would have gotten him anyways. So it's not like it's, you know, but yeah, it should be fun. And, you know, I challenge you, Jack, come on the channel, see if I can, and the thing is, I don't want to know what you're going to pick for me. I want you to come on. We're not live, but you know, we record live the tape. You on the spot say, "Hey, search for this and see if you can guess it." Not guess it, just know it.
I'll have to see. Now, of course, the rule is it's got to be stuff that is realistic. Like, it can't be like,
I agree.
I'm not going to pick like, can you name the AWA's roster in 1964 or something like that? Like, we're like, no.
Yeah. Another example I gave was like, don't give me like, who's the number three entrant of every single Royal Rumble? Like, no, like that's not, reasonable. But yeah, it's got to be realistic, but also, even if it's impossible, I'll be like, hey, I won't be able to do all of it, but maybe I'll do like 90%. Or if it's really, really easy, then it can be like, hey, I can probably do this in like less than a minute.
Interesting. Well, I'll have to keep an eye out for that one. Flobo does love his European championship. I thought this was a fun show. I've been really excited about AEW's directions lately. I've been really enjoying what they've been doing. Personally, I feel like it's a very divided wall there. Some people love it. Some people aren't as thrilled about it, but I've been really enjoying it. And I can't wait to see what happens next. I think Full Gear is going to be a really fun show. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I'm talking to you, Tony Khan. I know you watch the show, and I know you're here at hour 23 right now seeing this review. Just hit the follow button, buddy. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm playing around on Threads and Blue Sky again, just seeing, because everyone says those are popping off. I'm going to give it a whirl. We'll see how it goes. Might even start doing some TikToking. We'll have to see how that goes. So follow me all those places.
Do you have to dance while you do wrestling reviews?
Yeah. CEO. CEO.
You plus sign me equals sign us. Plus.
I'm so glad you knew that. So follow at Wrestling Inc. for all the latest wrestling news. We will be back on Friday. I believe it's going to be Glenn and Flobo. We'll be hosting that one to cover SmackDown. And of course, we've got Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and I'm guessing Full Gear coming up. Follow at Wrestling Inc., baby. That's where all the latest news happens. That does it for us now. We're hitting that end stream button.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.